That's a great song. It really is such a great truth in that, trust and obey. And often the way that we obey is we just have to trust Him. You know, sometimes we don't understand why He told us to do something or why He gave this commandment or told us this is the way to do it. So therefore, we just need to trust Him. You know, we tell our kids that as they're growing up, all that, just trust me, son, trust me. But Daddy, I want to hold that snake. No, son, just trust me. It'll be, you know, you don't need. But Dad, I want to drink that poison. No, just trust me. You don't want to drink it. And, you know, and we tell our kids that, and then God tells us that, and we struggle. We really struggle sometimes with trust and obey. We are on lesson number 30. We do have lesson 31 ready. And if you need either lesson 30 or 31, raise your hand, and we'll get those to you. Oh, we have a plethora of folks needing lesson 30 and lesson 31. So help us out there, ushers, if you would, and that'll be good. We'll get your arms back up here in a minute. We don't want you to have to work too hard. They're looking for them. Well, these guys get paid so much to usher. In fact, we're going to cut their pay in half today. Glenn, you heard that, didn't you? Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. He can hear now, so he's got everything fixed. All right, thank you so much. Get those to him. Yeah, how many of you need both, 30 and 31? All right, the carpenters need both. Delight needs both. Delight is back with us. She's, we don't have, which one do we not have? We don't have... All right, one says we don't have any more 30s, and one says we don't have any more 31s. What do you have, Perry? You have 30? All right, go ahead and give them 30. We may not get to 31 anyway, so Glenn, will you remind me or write me a note? Oh, what do you have? You have 31 there? Who needs 31? Raise your hand. He has more 31s. All right, these are only $50 each. We appreciate the donation. That's Doug Rogers, D-U-G, no. Very good. Good, I'm glad you got those. Glenn, thank you. Amen. All right, we move along in Revelation, and the study has been long, but it's been good. I've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it, and... I've got several folks following, I think, on the internet. They have been anyway. It's you can get it off of there, I believe, still. And so lesson number 30, we're still talking about the assisting beast out of the earth known as the false prophet. And this, of course, is what most people are interested in when they you say you're gonna preach or teach about Revelation. They want to know about that. The Antichrist, the false prophet, the mark of the beast, and all that. So we're right in the middle of that. Again, we're not doing it chronologically. We're doing it scripturally as far as following the chapters and verses. So it, again, the timeline is not so much developed, except we do have an idea. We're at the midpoint now of the tribulation. We're about, we believe, 3.5 years in. Again, that is not a provable idea, but it is kind of what I'm thinking anyway, and sort of what I believe, that this is about halfway into the tribulation when all these things take place. And I do want to remind you that the Antichrist, the false prophet, they represent Satan, and therefore there is deception going on that is it is just unbelievable. We've spent a lot of time talking about that deception, not only of the Antichrist, but the one that is so hard for people to grasp is the false prophet is also deceptive. And we always think of religion, oh, you know, it's got to be good. And you hear it so much now today. Well, as long as it's sincere and as long as they really mean it. And understand, the false prophet is every bit as evil as the Antichrist. Whatever you think about the Antichrist, the same is true about the false prophet. Evil, evil, evil. And so the deception is just sucking people in to following and eventually worshiping the Antichrist and really ultimately Satan. And so we've spent a lot of time on that. But our verses, let's go ahead and do those again. We should finish lesson number 30 today, but I have said that before. And so our memory verses, Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And let's say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And let's say it one more time together. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. And Father, again, we come to you just thinking about that day and how awful that day will be. Thinking about if the United States is even still around, and certainly we don't know that, but thinking about people who live within a block of this church, people who live across Maumee Street, people who live in the surrounding area and in the city of Adrian, and people in our county having to deal with such a terrible, terrible time. And I pray it would cause us again to be reminded of why we're here, and that is to give these people the gospel so they can be saved before this terrible, terrible day, this terrible time. And so I pray that you will speak to our hearts and guide us and direct us as we think of the tribulation time and the false prophet, especially the deception of religion, and guide us, Lord, into the truth of the Scripture, that our lives might be what they ought to be. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And as I every time we read that, it just is so such a terrible thought of what a day that's going to be, and a day like has never been on the face of the earth. I mean, there's been persecution, there's been trials, there's been suffering, and all of that has happened to God's people. But a day like that is it is hard to even imagine how that can take place, but it will take place. We've seen, number one, his appearance, talking about the false prophet. Again, I want to emphasize he is a man. He is a human. And so his appearance is very much, I think, like the Antichrist. He will come on the scene, but as a religious leader. The Antichrist comes on the scene as a political leader, maybe a military leader of some type. He will be all those things, really, as we looked at that. But the false prophet comes on the scene as a religious leader. He comes on the scene through a church, a denominational tie, with ecumenical things going on today and being as prominent as they are. Certainly he could come on as any type of religious leader, and he will be well accepted religiously. And so he comes on the scene, and we've talked about the comparison as Satan copies. He copies the things of God. And nothing, you know, that we see that in the tribulation time. We see the representation of course, the Trinity there, the unholy Trinity, we may want to call it, where the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Satan copies that. The Father, of course, copied by Satan himself, or the dragon. The Son being copied by the Antichrist, somewhat of a, like a God incarnate or a Satan incarnate, sort of a being, and then the false prophet then would compare to or be copied, or he is copying the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work. And so much of the work of the false prophet would be the opposite of what the Holy Spirit does, and we spent a lot of time talking about that, and we've come to this idea of the, again, how the Holy Spirit, he seals us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, showing and proving that we are God's, we're redeemed. And the example, of course, is the wedding ring, the earnest, the down payment The Holy Spirit is our down payment. Well, the false prophet has his mark as well, which we just read about, verses 16 and 17. And so he marks, as God, the Holy Spirit, marks us who belong to the Lord, the false prophet will mark those who belong to Satan. And we talked about the wonders that he does, all the miraculous things and all of that, and people are so intrigued by that. People get sucked into that kind of, well, if it's supernatural, it must be of God. How untrue that is. And that is a lie of the devil. And again, so many people fall for that kind of stuff. And, you know, it is amazing how gullible we can be. It really is. And so we stopped with coming to verses 16 through 18, and that's where we left off last week. And I've got three things that I've broken it down to for if you are taking notes. And number one is the mark, number two is the method, and number three is the meaning. The mark, the method, and the meaning. And I think that is really what is important in this section. First of all, we see the mark. It says in verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, there's so much speculation about that mark. There's so much talk about the mark. Now, the idea here, it's like a brand on livestock. If you've you know anything about the ranches, or maybe you like to watch old westerns or something, you see the cattle are marked with a brand, and they take a hot iron and they burn that brand into them. Well, obviously this mark is not going to be, I don't think it'll be done that way, but the idea is the same. It is a mark of ownership. And again, you notice here, and we've always, it seems like everybody talks about these times and talking about the mark of the beast, they always attribute it to the Antichrist. Well, the Antichrist didn't do it. The false prophet is causing this to happen, and he causeth all. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But again, this is the false prophet doing it. So understand, this is a religious action. And I have that underlined in my notes here, because it is a religious action with political and commercial ramifications. And it is a religion, in other words, this is going through the religion of that day. This is going through the religious part, the ecumenical part of that day, but it has commercial and political ramifications. In other words, you can't buy or sell. In other words, you are limited in where you can go and stores, and you are limited. But again, it is a religious mark. It is a spiritual, and as we would say, it's a non-spiritual, but they are going to call this thing a religious mark. In other words, you folks, if you worship the Antichrist, they won't call him that in that day, but whatever his name is, you're going to have to worship this man. He is going to be portrayed as the Messiah. He is going to be portrayed as the One. He's going to be portrayed as a Savior. And the idea is going to be, you are pledging your allegiance and your servitude to that One. And you will take the mark based upon that. It is a mark of ownership. And so it has, but it's religious. And this is the thing that ought to stand out to us, and it ought to show us what's going on today. We're watching politics, and we're concerned about politics, and we should be. And don't misunderstand me. We ought to be concerned, and we're looking at governments, and we're looking at commercial issues and interest rates, and all those things. But understand the big choice during the tribulation, and ultimately it's going to come down to a religious issue. And we're kind of blind to all that. Christians today, as long as they say they're Christian, or as long as they say they're religious, it's okay. That is going to be one of the biggest deceptive items that take place during the tribulation. And so here's this religious action, and this mark is, why are people so many people getting tattoos. I mean, everybody. I haven't got one. I was thinking about having Brenda's name put right across here. But anyway, why are so many? Wait a minute. Why are so many Christians getting tattoos? Christians are getting tattoos. You say, well, you know, I mean, they're and here's what people say. Are you ready for this? Well, they're putting Bible verses, or they're pledging their allegiance to Jesus, or they're now wait a minute. Go to Leviticus 19:28. I'm just going to show you how easy we are to be deceived. And I could spend a whole message on this, and maybe I will someday. Leviticus 19:28, especially if I want to give people time on Facebook. You'd get that if you really paid attention, which most of you don't. I'm kind of glad. Leviticus 19, verse 28. Now, I don't know how we can misinterpret this verse. I do know how people try to, but ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. Then he's very, very clear about the whole issue. I am the Lord. Now, how do you misinterpret that? There's no print any marks upon you. How do you argue that? Well, you know, I love God, or I'm putting that. Okay, look, listen. It's never right to do wrong to do right. Never. Never, 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 never. That's why we don't have Christian rock. Okay, that's why the two words don't go together. That's why we don't have Christian go-go dancers. You say, preacher, nobody. Churches do. They do. They do have that. But we don't. Okay, but wait a minute. They could get a crowd. Oh, would they get a crowd? You could have RU filled up on a Friday night if you brought in some strippers. Wait a minute, preacher. Yeah, but listen to me. It's never right to do. Look what the next verse says. Do not prostitute thy daughter. Oh, we would never do so. Then why would you have a tattoo? It's in the same context, folks. I am the Lord, he says. Okay, don't think you can just do whatever you want to do. I didn't mean to preach on that. It just jumped out at me. Because, again, you know, this is going to be a mark that is going to be implemented. Again, I have no idea what it's going to say. I have no idea. Some have said, well, it'll be invisible. You don't know that. The Bible says a mark. I don't know if it'll be invisible. It doesn't matter. It may have a computer chip involved in it and all that. I really don't know. All I know is we are being set up. The world is being set up to accept this without any question. Do you understand that 100 years ago, the idea of putting a mark on your right hand or on your forehead that is not going to come off easily? Do you understand how far off, even 30 years ago, people would have said, oh, we're not going to do that. It amazes me how many people in their 60s and 70s I see with weird tattoos all over their body. Watch a basketball game sometime. You'll see some of the strangest things you've ever seen in your life. Remember when Dennis Rodman did his thing years ago and we all went, what kind of a freak is it? Well, now that's just, we accept it. Oh, he's a good man. Again, whether they're good or bad doesn't matter, but I mean, anyway, I don't want to get on all that. But it just becomes more and more popular. Again, computer chips are—we're hearing about that more and more. It's just so obvious anymore. Again, right hand, forehead. This is going to be something that everybody can see. This is going to be their testimony, their devotion to the Antichrist, ultimately to Satan. It is not going to be something that they can just cover up and hide. It's going to be very important. I believe this mark will contain somehow, some way, a way to be scanned. It'll have all the information, I think. Again, I don't know that for sure. The Bible doesn't say. But it will be a practical mark. Practical because the right hand is easy to scan. The forehead is easy to scan. It'll be practical, I think, also because it will contain information about you, and it would be hard to steal. Now, again, you can have your right hand cut off, and certainly you could have your head cut off or just your forehead. Anyway, but the point is, it will be portrayed as very practical. You should have no problem taking this mark. You should not worry about this mark. And but understand, I covered this a lot last week, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. It's not going to be a trick. Okay, it is religious in nature. The false prophet is the one involved in this mark. It's not going to be a trick. You aren't going to be tricked. Nobody's going to be tricked into taking that mark. They are going to make a choice. It will be a choice. Just like salvation is a choice. You can't be tricked into getting saved. I don't care what anybody says. You will never trick anybody. So you know, all the methods of soul winning that we use, all the different plans, the Romans road, the Revelation road, the John road, all those different, those are all good. That's all fine. But you're never going to just trick somebody into getting saved. Okay, you can't. So you might as well just go through the plan, tell them what the Bible says, and then it's their choice. It cannot be, you can't trick somebody into it. So the 666 is very interesting. As again, as we're talking about the mark, three sixes, very, very clear in the scripture. His number is 600, 666. And you know, some have said, well, you know, that represents the mark, the name, and the number. You know, the mark is a six, the name is a six, the number is a six, and people have used those calculations. 17, verse 17, it says, or the name of the beast, he that had the mark, the name of the beast, the number of his name. So some have said, you know, Satan is a six, the beast is a six, the false prophet is a six. Again, the unholy trinity. And then people have come up with those numbers and you know, dealt with that. The truth of the matter is, the Bible just doesn't say. Okay, we can speculate all we want. It can be an interesting study. You can get into numerology, you know, and letters and names and using all kinds of different calculations. People have done it. I remember when I first got saved, some message I listened to, they calculated it all out, and Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. I don't know if you remember those days when he was the Pope, whatever his name was back then. I remember, you know, and the number comes up to 666, and everybody, wow. Now, you know, I don't know if that's how it's going to be or not. Here's what we know, and the thing is, you have to understand, nobody will know until the middle of the tribulation, okay? That's why, to me, it's silly to speculate now, because you're not going to know until the false prophet is, and remember, they're not going to, CNN is not going to have him on the news and have a caption underneath that says, the false prophet, okay? You know, it isn't going to be like that. It's going to be whatever his name is, and he's a religious hero. Oh, this man has brought everybody together, and we all love each other and all that. But here's the thing we know, all right? We know this, and it's very interesting, because verse 18 says this, here is wisdom, okay? So you might want to underline that in your Bible. Here is wisdom. That's so important. Here is wisdom. God says, I want you to use some wisdom. And here it is, all right? And it goes on. It says, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That is so important. Here, you know, well, the numbers come up to this and this name and that name. Phooey on all that kind of stuff, all right? Here's wisdom. Here's understanding. The six is a number of a man. Now, here's what we know about the number six. All right, are you ready for this? It's just short of seven. Wow, preacher, that's deep. You ought to write that down. Unless you already know it. You know, if that is something you've grasped before, and okay, six is just short of seven. What's the number of seven in the Bible? Perfection. And that's what we need to understand about the number six. It is just short of perfection. Okay? If 666, if in fact that is representative of Satan, Antichrist, false prophet, what would that tell you about each of them? They're just short of perfection. Okay? Here's what we have to know, folks. This unholy Trinity, Satan, Antichrist, false prophet, they are just short of perfection. And just like six in the Bible is always the number of man, because it's just short of perfection, no matter how hard he tries, he's always just short of perfection. Think about the number six. I don't care how hard the number six tries. It can work and 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 work. Guess what? It always comes up just short of seven. Are you with me? Always. Six will never, never be seven. It can't be seven. Why? Because it's six. This is deep, isn't it? We could have taken this to a college class and they would have said, wow, because it's so deep. Now, and therein is the problem that man has. What do you mean? We're just short. And isn't that what the Bible says? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, yeah, but I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. And it doesn't matter what six does. Six can roll around and do all that it wants to do. In my mind, I'm seeing a six rolling around. But it can do anything. But it never can become seven. It just can't become seven. It's always going to be just short of seven. Now, there's a wonderful truth that we can grasp in that. And I know it's not, you know, the excitement of the tribulation and everything. But it's such a wonderful truth that it goes down to what we believe and why, you know, and I preached on this last Sunday morning, why we're here, why we have a church, why we preach the gospel. And that is that nobody out here, no one, is a seven. We weren't. I wasn't. I'm not. But wait a minute. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for my sins. And I put on his righteousness. What's his righteousness? It's a seven. How can six become seven? Well, the only way it can become seven is to put on seven. There's no other way. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, he made it possible for me to become a seven. Isn't that good? I love it. So again, that's not dramatic about the 666, but it is the one thing that we know that no matter how hard man tries, he cannot be a seven. By the way, no matter how hard Satan tries, he can't either. That's why we know we win. Amen. We win, folks. That's how do you know we win? Well, because Satan can't be a seven. His demons, I don't care. His workers, the Antichrist, the false prophet. Wow, they're going to look good, aren't they? But they are six. And they come short of seven. And so the beast, the false prophet, Satan, they all come short of seven. Now, again, this mark we're talking about. In verse 9, it talks about this mark again. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Again, this mark. Remember, somebody is saying, I am going to worship the devil. They will have to say that. Well, they won't say the devil. I am going to worship the Antichrist. They won't say the Antichrist. I'm going to worship whatever his name is. Okay, they are pledging their allegiance. And here's what they're saying. They're saying six. When someone calls upon Jesus Christ to save them. They're saying, I know I'm a six, but I want to be a seven. And I realize there's not a thing I can do to be a seven. There's not a thing I can do to be sinless. There's not a thing I can do. I'm calling upon Jesus Christ to save my soul and take me to heaven, and I want his righteousness. And so they're putting on the seven. In the tribulation time, most people will say, I'll take the six. I'll take this mark, the six. And the Bible says the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Why? Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Because the wages of sin is death. And as long as you stay a six, as long as you stay in that category, I don't care what you can join 20 churches. You can help little old ladies get across the street. You can do good works. You can serve in soup kitchens. You can do all kinds of good things. But you cannot change yourself from being a six. And the only way to get that settled is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again and be born a seven. Amen. Born from above with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I thought that was pretty good. I got kind of excited about that. And so again, the scripture, verse 11, it goes on, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. Whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That is a perfect description of hell. Chapter 15, verse 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, there it is again, over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And that's going to be in our next lesson. But again, victory over his mark. Here's people that did not take that mark. There will be many during the tribulation who will say, no, I refuse to take that mark. And it's a tough thing. It's going to be a tough time. You think it's tough to get saved today. And I've said this many times to people that are unsaved. Well, what would my friends say? What would people say? Listen to me. In the tribulation, imagine during the tribulation, if you don't take the mark, you can't buy, you can't sell. And eventually we'll read where you get your head chopped off. Yeah, I mean, you talk about a tough time to get saved, but people will. Chapter 16 and verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. This is when God's judgments start coming down. And who's gonna feel those judgments? Well, those that have, hey, I've got my six. Here's my six. Yeah, what you're doing is proclaiming that you're going to hell. What you're doing is proclaiming that you're short of seven. What you're doing is you're saying to God, smite me. That's what that six is going to do. Scary thought. Chapter 19, verse 20. Chapter 19, verse 20. I need the ushers to go ahead and come and collect an offering, if you would, for the class. I'm going to just keep going. Chapter 19 and verse 20. Especially this week, since my watch is working. Last week, that was exciting. It stopped, and I had no idea, and that was funny. Chapter 19, verse 20, the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Again, remember the mark of the beast. The beast is the Antichrist, the mark of the Antichrist, and yet the false prophet is the one who is causing this to happen. And so, again, here's people. How did they receive this mark? Oh, they were deceived. Deceived. Hey, you know what? If you are not saved today, you have been deceived. Okay? You've been lied to. You've been told, well, as long as you're an American, you'll go to heaven. You've been told, well, as long as you're religious, you'll go to heaven. You've been told, well, as long as your good works outweigh your bad works when you die, you'll go to heaven. No. No, 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 no. You've been deceived. You must be born again, Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In chapter 20 and verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And these, again, we will talk about whenever we get to chapter 20, maybe a year from now or whatever, since it seems to be taking a long time. But again, this mark is very, very important in Revelation, and yet sometimes I think we make too much out of it trying to figure out, you know, what all that stands for. The thing we know and what I want you to really consider and think about is the six is just short of seven. And that is the condition of every lost person on the face of the earth. Everyone who has not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and received His righteousness, they are a six. And will continue to be just a six, which means judgment, punishment in a place called hell. Number one is the mark. Number two, the method. Notice verse 16. And I've already kind of covered this a little bit, but I did want to spend a little more, just a couple minutes here. He causeth. That word's important. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. The method, he causeth. Now, we tend to think causeth means he forced. But it's that isn't what it is. It's an implementation. Okay? It's not a gun pointed to the head saying, you will receive this mark or I'm going to blow your brains out. No. It's a decision. Just like we give an invitation in church, it will be like an invitation to receive the mark. It's like you get charge card advertisements in the mail and offering, you know, some kind of a deal or something like that. You know, you have a choice, okay? If you're interested in this, call us and we'll set you up or send this back or go to this website or something like that. The people during this time, the false prophet has set up this huge, huge system and an implementation that people will have an option. They will have a choice of receiving this mark. And the only way they can buy or sell is to have that mark. It'll be huge. It will, again, folks, you're not going to get, okay, during our time here, first of all, this is not the tribulation. It may seem like it. It's not. Christians are not going to go through the tribulation. We're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation. But understand that at that time, this is going to be, on TV. From now on, the only way you can get anything at the store is you have to show your allegiance to the Antichrist, whatever his name is. You are going to have to pledge your allegiance. This guy's our hero. Don't you understand that, people? Don't you get it? This guy's a hero. This guy, he has worked out peace in all the world, and he's done all this. And notice the leader of such and such religion and all the religions that have come together now, he is endorsing him. And come on, people, what's your problem? Why wouldn't you worship him? And every person who has been saved during that time is going to say, wait a minute, that's not who we worship. We can't worship him. Just like Daniel's day, you know. Daniel had to purpose in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. And that's what's going to happen. But this implementation, so many people, they'll flock. They're going to love it. They're going to love him. And again, it is a religious decision. People will choose. Maybe, you know, in my mind, I thought maybe each individual religious center, whatever they'll call it in that day, they'll have a ceremony for everybody receiving the mark. You know, just like we have baptism when somebody gets saved, maybe they'll have some sort of a religious ritual, and it'll be a big deal. And parents will be leading their children to get the mark. Are you listening? Dads will lead their teenagers. Oh, you need to get this mark. This is great. This man is so, this is the one. He's a leader and he's great. And boy, you're going to want his mark on you. And it's going to be unbelievable. Unbelievable time. The mark, the method, and then the last thing is the meaning. Verse 17, it says, you can't buy or sell. It's not going to happen. That no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the meaning again, we see it now, you know, now you see it. What have you tried to do? You tried to rent a car. And what do you have to have to rent a car? What do you have to have to rent a car? Does anybody know? Credit card. Wait a minute, I don't want a credit card. You have to have a credit card, sir. I'm sorry. Well, here's cash. Cash won't work. You have to have a credit card. What? And that's how this thing's going to happen. You ever been frustrated because you didn't have a credit card? Have you ever been frustrated with your credit card? Anyway, that's another story. But we see it. You see it now. You know, sir, do you have a Social Security number? Oh, wait. Yeah, how long have we had to have a Social Security number? That's our number, right? Mine is, oh, no. No, 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 no. You know, there was a day we would say our Social Security number, wouldn't we? Not anymore. No way. And you have to have one, don't you? Yeah, a little baby's born, they've got a Social Security number. Yeah, didn't think a thing of it. And I still don't think anything of it. I've got all kinds of numbers attached to me. Passwords and this and that and computer names and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to tell you any of them. But Revelation 14, verse 9, just about done. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, nor worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And that is forever. Chapter 16 and verse 2 talks about the suffering that will take place. The first went, poured out his vial upon the earth. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had received, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. I mean, this grievous sore. Again, we read that and say, oh, that's not so bad. It is going to be a terrible, terrible thing. Chapter 19, verse 20, some of these we already looked at. 19:20, the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And what a terrible, terrible thing. And of course, those who refuse to take that mark, and again, it will be a choice. It will not be a trick. Chapter 15:2, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And it'll be a wonderful time. Chapter 20 and verse 4. Chapter 20 and verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Watch what it says, though, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And of course, then, after that 1,000 years, they live and reign with Christ forever. Somebody says, well, they had their heads chopped off, but their heads chopped off compared to eternity in hell seems to be no comparison, wouldn't you say? I think so. But see, the best way, what's even better than that, preacher? The best way is if you know somebody who's not saved, somebody who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, you need to tell them. You need to tell them how to be saved so they never have to even deal with this. So they can get saved today and they can go to heaven if the rapture takes place or if they die, and they can be with the Lord Jesus forever. That's the best way. And if you're here today without Christ, you have never trusted Him as your Savior, I would urge you to come to Christ and simply say, God, I've sinned against you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm that six. I know I'm short of perfection. But I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. And I need Him to come into my heart and save me and forgive me of my sin. And I want His righteousness so that I can go to heaven someday. That's by far the best way. And that's why we study the book of Revelation. Amen? Because there's people all around us that need Jesus Christ before it's too late.